It's
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, nice day.
It's the preview show. It's the No Nay Never podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast. I am your host, I guess, Natalie Bromley, but joining me as ever is the headliner of the preview show, the main man himself, Mr. Dave Statman Roberts. Dave, hello!
Hello, Natalie. It's they're coming thick and fast, these preview shows. We can't get used to these two games a week.
They really are. I don't even know when we record anymore. But to be honest, for this is now my 17th week in lockdown, I think, something like maybe 18th. And I it's been a long time since I knew what day it was anyway. I think I mentioned this in the last preview show. So it's probably not that big a deal to me that I don't know what day it is or what the next fixture was. When I was doing the title and setting up the editing software, the recording software for the show, I usually title it, you know, Sheffield United preview or Liverpool preview, so that producer Matt knows which one to pick up on today at the audio. And I literally wrote preview. I was like, where are we? Who are we playing next? What game is it? I have no idea. So I had to run to your show notes very quickly to get going. Dave, this is a very special edition of the preview show. Why is it?
It is. Well, we touched on this at the very end of our last preview, where before we played Sheffield United. We did mention that this was going to be Burnley's 1,000th game of the 21st century. So we've got a 1,000th game of the 21st century special today.
Excellent. That is not that concise. But yes, welcome to the 1,000th game of the 21st century special. We couldn't think of anything shorter, sorry. Well, obviously, before we get on to our special show, we start looking at the next game. Sheffield United was last up. We are going to do the main show after the West Ham game, because we just didn't really have time to get it recorded and in and before. And then, obviously, we're playing again at the weekend. So, and I'm not around this week. It's my mum's birthday. It's Mama B's birthday on Thursday when they're recording. So our very own Richard Steele's going to chip in and have his first go at hosting it, which I'm very excited about, because I think he'll do a really good job. So they will talk about the Sheffield United game in a bit more depth, but it was very nearly a very well-earned 3 points, which ended up feeling a bit flat in the end, Dave, I think.
Yeah, I think you're always disappointed when you take the lead, you're still winning with 10 minutes to go. It looked like we were holding out reasonably well and had one or two chances ourselves. Dwight McNeil had a chance down the other end, didn't he, to make it 2-0. I think if that had gone in, that would have been that. But the fact we didn't, and they came back and they got us from a set piece with 10 minutes to go. You could argue that perhaps on balance that was a fair result. They had probably the better of the chance in the first half. They had a shout for a penalty as well. You know, on the balance of things, I don't think we were too disappointed with the draw. And I'd also predicted 1-1. I wasn't too disappointed going into the game, bearing in mind the number of injuries we have got and the depleted squad.
You said a draw, didn't you? Did you say 1-1?
I predicted 1-1, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, I'm still, that McNeil miss is still flashing in front of my eyes every single time I blink. It's I think the entire Burnley fan contingency all went, oh, Dwight. Like, it was so, oh, but anyway, you know, listen, he's done amazing things for us this season, so we certainly will not be holding that against him. Do you think that might be Europe that's fallen away a little bit? I mean, listen, Europe was always going to be a tough ask. We had to finish above some, about three or four teams. But with just being a draw rather than a win, do you think that's maybe put to bed that slim chance, outside chance of Europe? Or do you think we should still go for it?
I think that there's still games to play and there's points up for grabs. So while it's still a possibility, you go for it. But you do wonder whether, again, we were surprised, weren't we, when Ben Mee wasn't in the starting lineup, and we hear now that he's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. It looks like Jack Cork's out for the season and also Matt Lowton as well. So we are struggling for numbers. I mean, there are players coming back. Good to see Chris Wood come back for the last 20 minutes or so of the Sheffield United game. So he'll be looking to play a little bit more in the games to come. Ashley Barnes is looking like he might be back on the fringe of things as well. So we are struggling for numbers, though, we've seen, in terms of the players who we've lost from a contract situation, players we've lost to injuries, and the likes of Ben Gibson not being available. We are struggling for numbers. So you just think, you know, it's going to get to a point where it is one game too far, whether that's now or one of the games to come for the rest of the season. We are up against it in terms of numbers.
Yeah, we are. I did have a bit of a laugh at a tweet I saw from Nona Nevers' long-term friend and founder member, Jamie Smith, who tweeted, I think, before the game when we saw Kevin Long was back in, you know, if only we had a £15 million defender to be able to come in when we get an injury to the likes of Ben Mee or James Tarkowski. But he's in his Borough pyjamas.
We should have a post. We should have a postcard from Middlesbrough, shouldn't we?
We should. That might be a new section for next week. Where are all of our players? Postcard from Borough. What's Ben Gibson up to today? Is he okay? Is he getting enough sleep? Is he drinking enough water? How does he feel? Okay, well, let's move on. We need to look at last week's quiz question, which was a very tough one, actually, and I did not know the answer to this, and I still don't. So during the previous show, which was, of course, the home game against Sheffield United, we asked our listeners, who was Burnley's manager the last time the Clarets played the Blades in a top-flight fixture at Turf Moor, which was an old First Division match that Burnley won 3-1? Dave, reveal your secrets.
Well, the correct answer was Joe Brown. The match in question had been played in February 1976, and we had, that was, if you remember, that was our last time in the top flight for 33 years. We were relegated in 1975-76. Joe Brown had taken over from Jimmy Adamson. That was in January, so this was just the month after. It was our last season in the top flight until our playoff win against Sheffield United in 2009. That earned us promotion to the Premier League for the first time. So it was a slightly trickier question. I think maybe if you were looking at the era and you didn't know, you might have guessed Jimmy Adamson. That might have been the... We did have one or two guesses for Jimmy Adamson. Yeah. One or two for Harry Potts. It was after Harry Potts' time, although he did come back as manager later. So we didn't receive very many correct answers for this one. I did see one from... who did we get? Rob Thomas, one of our quiz regulars. He came up with the correct answer. But that was the only one I saw, unless you saw some others, Natalie.
Nope. I didn't see any other correct ones as well. Like you say, we had quite a lot of answers submitted this week, so well done, you guys. I think lockdown has got us all into quiz enthusiasts, hasn't it? We should do... Oh, do you reckon we could do a Zoom quiz with our listeners?
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
That would be awesome. My brain is... You know, like I'm not busy enough, I'm just going to put together a Zoom quiz. You're right. Rob Thomas is our sole winner this week, so well done, Rob. I'm glad it... Yeah, good guys. Guys do well. Now, obviously, we've already mentioned that this episode is previewing Burnley's 1,000th game of the 21st century. So we could plan to leave you with some related quiz questions about this milestone at the end of the show. So stick around, because we're going to have some fun.
Opposition stats.
And now moving on to the main reason why we are here. We are previewing this episode, West Ham United away from home, on Wednesday the 8th of July, 2020 at 6 p.m. And this game is live on BT Sport 2. Dave, what on earth has happened since we last met?
When we met last time, that was back at Turf Moor, back in November, and it's Burnley who were victorious. We had a comfortable 3-0 win, and it could have been more. There was a wonderful Chris Wood header, if you remember, from a Dwight McNeil cross. It had to go to VAR, and the video assistant referee ruled it out for offside, but it was one of those very, very marginal ones where toenail was offside, exactly. And at the time, it was the beleaguered Manuel Pellegrini who was in charge of the Hammers, but he's since been replaced. David Moyes took over. That was a move which took place between Christmas and New Year, as David Moyes returned for his second spell in charge at West Ham United. They are currently in 16th position in the table, perilously close to the bottom three, which coincidentally was the same position they were in after we played the reverse fixture. So they've kind of not got out of it. They're still down there, although other teams are perhaps looking a little bit more likely than them for the drop.
Indeed. We've introduced this again. What's their stadium and capacity like? Actually, no, we did keep this in, didn't we, for the second half? Of course, because it's an away game.
It's the first time we played them away, so yes, we're just having it in for the away games.
Yes, stadium and capacity then, please. Dave, where do they play?
Well, since the start of the 2016-17 season, West Ham United play their home games at the London Stadium, as it's now known. That was built and previously used as the main athletics venue for the 2012 London Olympics, when it was the Olympic Stadium. When full, it holds currently, I think, about 60,000 supporters, or should do. But obviously on Wednesday evening, it'll be a little bit echoey in East London, with just 300 people in total permitted to attend. Prior to moving to their new home, the Hammers had played their football at the Bowling Ground, which was often referred to as Upton Park, for over a century. That was between 1904 and 2016.
Excellent. Turning to matters on the pitch then, Dave, what's been Burnley's heaviest defeat?
We have to go back to 1968 for Burnley's heaviest away defeat in past away games at West Ham United. It was a Monday evening in late August of that year. And back then, the Hammers were playing at the Bowling Ground, which we just mentioned. During the first half, West Ham had already taken a 3-goal lead when a Brian O'Neill shot struck the referee, David Wallace, on the back of the head. He had to leave the pitch. With one of his linesmen, Peter Mason, taking the whistle, they were still short of a replacement linesman. So it was one of those situations where a call went out and an Essex County referee called Kieran McLean came forward to run the line. However, perhaps not surprisingly, Mr. McLean was also a West Ham United fan. And when Trevor Brooking put the ball in the net from a position that seemed several yards offside to everyone else, Mr. McLean didn't raise his flag. And the goal was given. So it was a controversial moment where, imagine it, a turf moor, no referee, we'll have a Burnley fan coming in to run the line. There
That's
was
hilarious.
Well, yeah, it's one of those situations that it just wouldn't happen. I mean, they didn't have a spare official then. They have a spare official now. So it's a little bit of an oddity from times past. I think there was another one, wasn't there? There was Jimmy Hill ended up running the line at Coventry game, I think it was.
I'd forgotten all about that. Gosh, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
So this is one where Burnley came out on the wrong side of the decision. The original referee, though,
there's a surprise, Dave.
Yeah, I know. The original referee, Mr. Wallace, was well enough to continue for the second half, during which he cautioned Burnley's Brian O'Neill, who was the one who'd hit him on the back of the head with the ball in the first half, as well as a certain Mr. Harry Redknapp, who was playing for West Ham.
Oh, wow. That is a good stat. Where on earth did you find all of that information from?
I think it's actually on a West Ham website. I kind of compile it all into my database. You see these things and think, well, yeah, I'll make a note of that and then come back and it's useful for these sort of previews.
Definitely. What about Burnley's biggest win then? Let's get that a bit more positive.
Biggest away win against West Ham United was back in 1947. That was a match which confirmed our promotion back to the top flight in the first season after the Second World War. The match was played on the 31st of May 1947, which is later than normal because of the very cold winter early 1947. Games were delayed. The season actually went on into June for the only time that season. Burnley needed 1 point from either of their last two games of that season to confirm promotion. I think we were behind Manchester City won the title. But Burnley did it in style in the capital with goals from Jackie Chu, Billy Morris, Harry Potts got a brace, and also Jack Hayes. And that promotion led to another golden era for Burnley Football Club. We remained in the first division for the next 24 years, winning the title in 1959-60.
Excellent. Bit more specific then, let's drill down even further. When was Burnley's last win?
Well, as well as the 5-0 win we just mentioned, Burnley have also beaten West Ham United away by a margin of 3 goals twice. The first of those was a 5-2 win in January 1960. That was a season Burnley went on to win the league championship. But our most recent away win, again by 3 goals, was an eventful game in March of 2018. The match was goalless at half-time, but second-half strikes from Ashley Barnes plus 2 more from Chris Wood gave Burnley a convincing away victory amid some unsavoury scenes, including pitch invasions. But the Burnley players kept their heads and grabbed a much-deserved win and all 3 points that day.
Excellent. What about some head-to-head stats then, please?
Yeah, well, our overall away record against West Ham stands at played 44. We've won 9, drawn 7 and lost 28. That gives us a win percentage of 20.5%, and that's almost exactly level with our overall away average win percent against all the other teams we play this season. That stands at around 20% or 1 win in 5. For top flight away matches, it's slightly less favourable. We've played 28 of those. We've won 4, drawn 4 and lost 20, which gives us a win percent for top flight away games against West Ham of just 14.3%. And we have just won 1 and lost 4 of the previous 5 visits to play West Ham in the Premier League. That's obviously since we got promoted and played them for the first time in the Premier League since 2009-10.
Excellent. So who is going to be our man in the middle, Dave? Who is refereeing this game?
We've got Michael Oliver from Ashington in Northumberland. He's been appointed to take charge of this match between West Ham United and Burnley. And although there have been 6 Burnley wins in the 20 past games when he's been in charge, we haven't won any of the last 9. We've actually ended up losing 7 of those and drawing just 2. And Michael Oliver has also shown 4 red cards in past games involving the Claretts. 3 of those were to Burnley players. He's shown red cards to Chris Eagles, Michael Duff and Jeff Hendrick, and just 1 to an opposition player, who was Harry Maguire when he was still with Leicester City. That was early on for a professional foul on Johan Berg-Gudmundsson, if I remember correctly. And the video assistant referee for Wednesday evening will be Mr. Kevin Friend.
Who's not our friend at all. My dad loves it when Kevin Friend is involved because he loves to say that joke. He's not our friend. He's not our friend. It does make me laugh.
Celebrity fans.
And then finally then, my favourite section in our preview segment. Who are West Ham's celebrity fans? Now, Dave, off air, before we started recording this podcast, you promised me some crackers, so you better deliver.
I don't like to brag, but I feel sure this selection of famous fans is probably the most impressive yet. But here they are, so you can decide for yourself. And what I've done is to give it a bit of scale. I've put their Twitter followers on as well, so you can see how big they are or not, as the case may be. So first up, and this is in ascending order by number of Twitter followers. So first up, we've got former boxer Frank Bruno. He's got over 130,000 Twitter followers. Not bad. Musician Billy Bragg has got over 290,000 Twitter followers. American wrestler Triple H has got 7.4 million Twitter followers.
Wow.
Next, and that's only 3. We've got 4 more to come. Actor and chat show host James Corden has got 10.8 million Twitter followers. Comedian and actor Russell Brand has got 11.3 million followers. And then I saved the best 2 for last, and there are actually only 3 people in the entire world who have got more than 100 million Twitter followers, and 2 of them are supposedly West Ham fans. So they are singer Katy Perry, who has got 108.3 million Twitter followers. She was in a relationship with Russell Brand at one time, but there are pictures of...
She was married to Russell Brand.
There's pictures of her in West Ham get-up, so there's evidence.
Yeah, when she was married. I might call that one. There's no way on God's earth that she is still a West Ham fan. She very much just watched that because she was married to Russell Brand. But that's a tenuous one, Dave. But go on, this last one better deliver.
And the number 1 is former US President Barack Obama, 120.3 million followers. And he is the person in the whole world with the most Twitter followers.
Barack Obama's a West Ham fan?
Apparently so, yes.
I'm not really sure whether I believe that. Those are very good stats. Those are very good celebrities. I think you're right. I think you might have delivered, Dave Roberts. I think they may very well be the best celebrity fans we've ever had.
Well, with 2 of the top 3, you can't beat that.
No, definitely not.
Statman Dave's Stat of the Week.
Well, that's not everything. And I can't believe I'm even asking this, just given the bumper edition that we've got of the previous show. But I'm going to ask you to not leave our listeners hanging, Dave, to delve into the bank of Statman Dave and give us your miscellaneous stat or stats of the week.
Yeah, it's definitely plural this week. In most weeks, our Stat of the Week section has a direct connection with our opponents or a past match against them. But on this occasion, it's related to a notable milestone. Wednesday's match, as we've touched upon already, will be Burnley's 1,000th competitive first team game of the 21st century. So here are just a few stats relating to those matches. It will be our 891st league game in that time, with 224 of those being in the Premier League. All but 23 of the other league games were played in the Championship. We've played 47 games in the FA Cup, 53 in the League Cup, 6 Europa League qualifiers, and 3 matches in the playoffs. A total of 2,598 goals have been scored, plus however many are scored at the London Stadium on Wednesday. Burnley have conceded 1,320 and scored 1,278. Burnley's top scorer is Robbie Blake with 72 goals. In second place is Sam Vokes with 64 goals. And tied in third place are Jay Rodriguez and Ian Moore with 50 goals each. Sean Dyche has been Burnley manager for more than one third of these games, with 343. This number includes Wednesday's game. No player has captained Burnley on more occasions in the 21st century than Jason Shackle, who wore the skipper's armband on 136 occasions. The others with more than 100 are Steve Davis with 120, although he had captained several times in the previous century, Stephen Caldwell with 114, and Tom Heaton with 110. Current club captain Ben Mee is fifth in terms of matches as captain with 84. Burnley have 380 wins, 256 draws and 363 defeats so far in the 999 completed matches. Looking ahead, we're also expecting to play our 5,000th league game of all time since 1888, sometime during the 2022-23 season. And then sometime around 2040, we hope to bring you a summary of our 2,000th match overall of this century. But for the moment, you'll have to make do with just the first 1,000.
I'm not sure I could cope with a 2,000th one, Dave. I think this episode itself has been exhausting enough. I'm not sure I can go away. They are exceptionally good stats, and I'm very, very excited about this game now. It's got me all of a tither. I guess looking forward to the game then, Dave, West Ham haven't really had the best of seasons, and they're not a particularly good side this season, but they seem to have just managed to pull away from that bottom relegation zone and are very much looking like they're going to be safe now, albeit it is tight at the bottom, but I just can't see them going down. So I guess what's your feeling about the weekend? How do you think we'll do?
Well, first of all, it's not the weekend, it's Wednesday we're playing.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't have no idea what day it is. Yes. How are you feeling about tomorrow night, Dave, Wednesday?
It's all right. We'll edit all this out afterwards. No, we're going to leave it in, definitely.
Oh, God.
I think it's going to be, we know it's tough for away games in the Premier League, and we know that we only win 1 in 5 overall. Premier League's probably slightly less than that. It's going to be tough. I think if we get a draw, it's a good result, bearing in mind, as we've already mentioned, the players who are out. You know, we're missing Ben Mee, we're missing Jack Cork. Eric Peters took a knock towards the end of the Sheffield United game. We hope that he's still all right. He's obviously playing out of position as well. So we are, you know, he's almost doing a registry in the morning and seeing who's available and getting everyone to bring the boots. It's really tricky for us. I think one option we do have is that I saw for Sunday's game, it wasn't perhaps mentioned too much, we had young Josh Benson on the bench.
Mm.
Originally, the players who were out on loan, which are the likes of Ryan Cooney, Adam Phillips, Anthony Glennon, and also Josh Benson, they were at Grimsby and Morecambe, between them, two at each club, they weren't eligible. So either something's changed in the rules or we've applied for some help in the matter, bearing in mind the numbers we have got. And certainly if Josh Benson's available, you assume that perhaps the other ones will be as well. So if we are short of players, at least there are some youngsters there to at least fill the bench and have some options. But it's difficult for them coming in and at this level. But it may well be that, a bit like with Dwight McNeil, when he came in, he got a chance and he's grabbed that with both hands. So We'll see what comes of that. But I think I'm going to predict a draw. I think Burnley may get a draw. That's going to be my prediction. Another 1-1 draw for Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main question at the moment that everybody's asking themselves, isn't it? It's like, why are we not, now we are safe, and you know, I'm not entirely sure that everybody around the club's heart would be gone forcing for a European slot again. I think that would be a huge challenge to us, huge challenge, even more so than the first time. But the question mark keeps being asked as to why we're not playing our kids and giving them a chance. I couldn't find anything about rule changes, but the only thing I could find about this, which I think Chris Borden maybe confirmed, forgive me if I've given him credit for something that I've completely made up, but I seem to think that we actually had to request special dispensation from the Premier League to say, look, we have got an injury crisis. All of these first team players are out. These are extraordinary circumstances. Can you please just give us a break and let us, you know, we're not asking for loads, but can you at least just let us play one or two that have been out on loan? And I think the Premier League just said, yes, under these circumstances, you can do. That's why. I think it's going to be a step too far. I think I'm not feeling that great about this one for some reason. I think they're only going to get beat. I'm so sorry. I know we should always back our boys, but I just feel like this might be a step too far.
Fantasy Premier League update.
Okay, well, let's finish this week's preview show then, Dave, with two things. First and foremost, a look at the Fantasy Premier League. And secondly, we're going to then go on to look at a quiz question. So, Dave, why don't you kick us off with the Premier League, please? Fantasy Premier League.
Fantasy Premier League. We've got now five of our managers have powered through the 2,000 points barrier following the most recent game week. Bennett Howarth, who's been leading the No Name Ever League for much of the season, on and off, remains in pole position on 2,064 points. Although, just to confuse everyone, that's been with at least three different team names so far. John Sutcliffe trails by 42 points in second place on 2,022. And Tall Paul is just 1 point behind him in third place on 2,021 points. Rob Greenwood is in fourth place on 2,016 points. And the only other manager to pass 2,000 points so far is Max Robinson on 2,004.
Excellent. And what about the Dream Team then?
Well, we can give a retrospective update on this, because when we did our last preview show recording, the tables haven't been updated, so we didn't have all of the information for the previous week. Nick Pope and Ben Mee had both earned their place in the FPL Dream Team for that previous game week, which, as I say, has still not been updated. Danny Ings was also in that Dream Team for game week 32+. And what a season he's having for Southampton. But going back to the more recent game week, the one that's just been completed, that's following the Spurs-Everton match on Monday evening, game week 33+, which include all the weekend's matches. The only Burnley player we had in the Dream Team was James Tarkowski. His performance, helped by his goal, earned him a place in that Dream Team. And looking at the overall figures, Nick Pope remains Burnley's high-scoring player overall.
Excellent. And he is, of course, very much on for the Golden Glove Award still.
Yeah, if he'd held another 10 minutes, he would have got another one towards that total. I think he's still is level with Alisson. I think they're both on 13, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it is obviously getting to that stage of the season now. And obviously, even though Burnley's safety in the Premier League has not been in doubt for a long time, and has actually now been confirmed mathematically, we are safe. It's definitely approaching what is now always known as squeaky bum time in terms of the Fantasy Premier League. So do stay tuned for our next preview show when we discover who is still in the running to win that coveted title of No Name Ever League champion. And now, I think I found them, so I think I can give a prize out.
Statman Dave's quiz question.
And finally, Dave. Now, we mentioned last time that the next game will be Burnley's 1,000 competitive first team game of the 21st century. We've got to find a way to shorten that. So we have got some related questions for you. So Quizmaster Dave, why don't you set us off?
Yes, we've got three questions in total, and they all relate to that period, the 21st century to date, and Burnley's 1,000 games, competitive games we've played. Well, the 1,000th will be the one on Wednesday. So question one is, against which team do Burnley have the most wins in all competitions since 2000?
Yeah. Question two.
Are you writing your answers down, are you?
No, I'm thinking about
it. Question two. I could hear the cogs going round him. Question two. Which two opposition players have scored the most goals against Burnley in the 999 games played so far since 2000?
Okay. And three.
Finally, which opposition manager have Burnley faced more than any other in the matches we've played in the 21st century?
Excellent. Then how do our listeners submit their answers, Dave?
Well, they can tweet us or send us a direct message on Twitter. That's @NoNayNever. Alternatively, we can take emails. So email us at podcast@NoNayNever.net. And you can also reply to the post of this preview show, which will go up on the No Nay Never Facebook page.
Excellent. I mean, obviously, these are all really great stats, Dave, and I think it's only fair to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where you're getting the information from, and obviously just give them a chance to go to your page and support it. So why don't you tell our listeners where you've been compiling your stats, please?
Yeah, well, the Burnley Stats Match Database now includes details of every Burnley competitive game since 1885, and that includes details of all goal scorers for and against. It now includes details of all managers for all games for Burnley and the opposition. So if you do need some inspiration for trying to get the quiz answers, there is plenty of information on there to look at. And the short link for it is bit.ly/Burnley Match. So that's bit.ly/Burnley Match, and that last word is all one word in uppercase. And the page, as we've mentioned, is the source for the majority of the stats that are incorporated into our match preview podcasts.
Excellent. Do please check that out, because I know Dave puts in an enormous amount of work for this, and it would just be very nice if you could get onto there and support him. Well, that is all we've got time for this week. What a bumper edition that has been, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. My thanks as ever go to producer Matt. And I now can say that correctly because Dave has put it in big, bold red letters again on my script. I did not have that. I went freestyle in the opening section of this previous show and called him Dave. So thank you to producer Matt for helping out with it and producing the previous show and getting it on air. An advanced thank you, please, to the rest of the team, particularly Richard, who are taking over. They're having a takeover of the main show on Thursday, and they will be having a good old chin wag between them. So best of luck, lads. And thank you so much. But finally, obviously, my main thanks go to Statman Dave, who is just an absolute gem and works incredibly hard in getting this preview show out. So thanks, Dave. It's been a pleasure as always. We will be back at some point this week with, obviously, the boys will be back on Thursday with the preview show. Dave and I will be back before the next game, whenever that may be. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
Saturday.
Saturday, thanks, Dave. So if you've got any questions, concerns, queries, hints, tips, or just want a general chat, then you know how to find us. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Never podcast. Until next time.